Let's get into our teaching for today. Let me ask you this quick opinion poll. Who is still making good on your New Year's resolutions? Couple of people. All right, a couple of people who are really motivated. The rest of us, we aren't going to raise our hands at all. So I have a brand new, we have a brand new series. We're going to talk for 4 weeks really about some of this very issue here. We're talking about making change because we start a brand new year and we have good ideas, good intentions. We recognize it would be helpful if I would make some change in my life. So we're going to talk about making change. We're going to talk about some key areas of our lives. God has given us time. Are you using it wisely? He's given us money. Are you using it wisely? That how he'd like you to use it? God has given us relationships that are a powerful resource in our lives. Are you managing and being a good steward of the people God has put into your lives? So we're talking about some of these things, and we're going to get really specific. Even this week, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Yes, because God says it's not enough to just read the word or to believe what he says, but to live it out. So we're going to live it out this week in a very practical way. But in this series, for these 4 weeks, I've got four truths I would like you to consider, and I've done everything we can to help you remember them. So repeat after me, if you would. Less is more.
Less is more.
Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. All right, say it with me now. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. One more time, all on your own. One, two, three, go.
Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters.
Oh, there we go. See, you're already getting it. We're already making some progress here. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I need to tell you, this is not my original message series. I didn't come up with all these. I have to be honest, I was out jogging several weeks ago, listening to a podcast of one of my favorite preachers in Oklahoma, and heard this series of messages and thought, this is what we need to hear in this brand new year. God wants to challenge us with some things that really dives down to this area of values and the values that we live by. This is what we need to hear. And this particular pastor, he loves to share all of his stuff and share the graphics and videos and all that kind of stuff that go along with his teaching series. And so I've just prayed about it and thought, this is what we need to hear. And so I'm going to share this. I just thought I would tell you that. That way, if you don't like it, you don't have to blame me. You know, you might say, aren't preachers supposed to like preach original messages? Well, as one of my New Testament professors told me, when you're preaching God's word, this is the message. There really is no such thing as an original message if you're being true to the faith. And so we're just going to, you know, let me share some really helpful stuff with you in these weeks. All right, well, so today you can just kind of guess 4 weeks, four truths. Truth number one, today we are going to talk about less is more. Now, that is a nice little phrase, and you might ask yourself, how in the world is less more? It doesn't make mathematical sense, even though it sounds kind of cute and pretty. It's really kind of an oxymoron. How can less be more? And in our culture, where we love more, we don't even live that way. We live that more is more, right? More money is more and more better. More friends is more better. We live as if more is more. How can less be more? Well, maybe I can illustrate it like this. My favorite candy is Sour Patch Kids. Anybody else here like Sour Patch Kids? You say, yep, yeah, Sour Patch Kids, it's one of my favorites. Okay, so you're with me on this one. Okay, so I see that hand. So anyways, sorry, that's a bad church joke. So several years ago, Erica and I, we were first married and didn't have a lot of money. And so we would go out to the movies. We would go to the Dollar Theater. Anybody go to the Dollar? I don't even know if there's any around anymore. But like So there was, the Dollar Theater was the place if you could wait a couple of months until after the movie came out, instead of paying $12, you could go pay $1 and see, you know, a movie in the theaters. And, you know, the theaters were old and kind of run down and, you know, most of the seats were broken. And if you leaned too far back, you'd be in the, you know, lap of the guy behind you, and the floors had never been swept in 38 years. But you could go to a movie for a dollar, right? And so since we're only paying a dollar for the movie, we could afford concessions. And so we would go to the concession stand, and every time I would get my favorite Sour Patch Kids. Well, on one occasion, don't know if the movie was extra long or if it, you know, I'd gotten a raise that week. I'm not sure why. But instead of just buying the small box of Sour Patch Kids, I splurged and bought the large bag of Sour Patch Kids. Because if a box is good, a large bag is better. More is always better, right? And so we go to the movie, we're watching the movie, and I'm just enjoying my Sour Patch Kids, and that sugary sweetness just keeps calling my name, and I'm enjoying the Sour Patch Kids. About three quarters of the way through the movie, I reach into the bag, and it's all gone. I've eaten the whole bag, and it's so wonderful. And so I sit there for a few minutes more, and then I realize that the inside of my mouth has been assaulted. Like the sugary sweetness in the candy caused me to eat them all, but the sour, whatever they used to create the sour flavor, has done a number on my mouth, and I was in pain. I was in pain the rest of the night. I think I woke up the next morning still feeling like, oh man, I'm still paying the effects of eating a whole bag of Sour Patch Kids in one setting. And I realized that sometimes more is not better, sometimes less results in more enjoyment. In our small groups this week, I had that discussion question in there because I know I've heard a lot of stories from folks who said, oh, I loved something and I ate a whole bunch of it and I don't love it anymore. Think about that. Share that story because I discovered that sometimes it really is true that less is more. We find in Scripture this truth affirmed to us as well. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we find the reflections of a man who had money, fame, power, all the things that we think are so great and would give us a better life. And he gives us reflections on this life saying, now that I've had it all, done it all, I've realized the problems that come with that. So today's key verse comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6. And let's see that. So here's our key verse for today, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6. Why don't you read this out loud with me? Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Better, and I want you to think of this, this is how we're going to think of this today. Better is one handful. How is one handful ever better than two handfuls? I mean, if I have one handful of cash, two handfuls of cash is even better, right? Come on, be honest. Just because you're in church doesn't give you permission to, you know, I have to give the right, don't give the right answer, give the honest answer. If one handful of cash is good, two handfuls of cash is better, right? Yes. Good, now we're starting to be honest. Good, honesty is always good in church. Unless one handful of cash with peace is better than two handfuls of cash with worry and fear. One handful with tranquility is better than two hands full with stress and the maintenance that goes along with taking care of two hands full of something that's really, really good. You see, when I have one hand full, I have another hand that's available and open. When I've got two hands full, both hands are full, I have nothing available. One handful of something really, really good results in another handful that's able to offer a hand up or a hand out or a pat on the back or a hug or a high five of encouragement. One handful with tranquility and peace is better than two hands full with the stress and the worry and the fear and no available, nothing to give that often comes along with it. Less is more. Less, and here's really where we're going with all this, less of what doesn't matter all that much so that I can have more of what truly matters in life. That's the good news in all of this. In order to have more of what really matters, it means probably need to have less of what doesn't really matter. Of course, for that to work, though, we need to know what is really most important, what really matters to us the most. So I did a quick survey. And you know, this is another kind of discussion point in our groups this week, is we're asking, like, what really is the most important in your life? If you were to list the top three most important of what's most important in your life, what would you put on the list? So just to kind of get the discussion going, last week I put it out on Facebook. And a lot of times my posts, you know, they get a couple of comments. This one generated like 100 comments. And I said, what are the most important things in your life? What's the most important thing? Now, I purposefully worded it a little bit tricky and put that word thing in there to see if people would notice. Most people just didn't even notice that, and they were just like, whatever about things, and they said, what's most important in my life? My family is most important. My faith is most important. My reputation and you know, integrity is most important. A few of the people who actually noticed that word things, one of my friends said, well, since you said things, they listed then, you know, some things, but most people, they just skipped right over the things part, because we know, and really in the end, the things in our lives, they're not the things that are... That's not what's really most important. Interesting that nobody said, my iPhone 7, that's just most important in my life. Like, kick the kids to the curb, man. I've got the iPhone 7, I'm good. Life is full of fulfillment. Nobody said, those new granite countertops that I've been saving for and dreaming about. And sometimes I go to the home improvement store just to look at them and dream of what it would look like in my house, and it'd make me feel good. And I would just cook more healthy if I had granite countertops, because it's not as... Nobody said, right there, man, kitchen remodel, granite countertops, that's most important in my life. And yet, when we look at where we give our time, where we give our energy, where we give our money, where our relationships fall, quite often, not only are we tempted to, but we give the best of ourselves to the things that in the end really don't matter all that much. Jesus affirmed this. Luke chapter 12, we read a little instance, a little snapshot in Jesus' life. So Jesus is out teaching, and here's what we discover. Luke chapter 12, I'll start in verse 13. Just follow along with me here. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So there's a little family drama going on. Father had passed away, the brother was the executor of the estate, and he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do in dividing up the inheritance. And so this guy says, "Hey, I know how to handle it. Let's go to Jesus." Jesus is a religious teacher. He wants people to do the right thing. This is a matter of doing the right thing, of justice, of integrity, of righteousness. And Jesus is, he's pretty influential. My brother will listen to him. "Jesus, I need you to tell my brother to do the right thing, do the morally just thing, and share the inheritance with me." And look at how Jesus responds in verse 14. Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Well, you're like the Son of God. If there ever was a judge or an arbiter, we would want it to be you, because nobody could argue that you were being unjust. If there was anybody to help us out with the problem, "I want my brother to do the right thing." Jesus is like, "Not my job, man." Now, this is kind of a harsh response. We're going to get to that. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. But look at what Jesus says. This is a really great, this is a verse, you should underline this verse. That's okay to do in your own Bible. Like, underline it, highlight it, dog ear the page so you can come back to it and let God continue to speak to this. Because look at this, verse 15. "Then he said to them, 'Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed.'" Here it is. "Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Oh, that's good right there. That's a challenging word that every one of us in our culture, where we have so much and so much available to us, we need to hear this and live it. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. What is Jesus saying here? He's acknowledging our natural human tendency to believe that more is always better. And that if I want a better life, I just get more. More money will give me a better life. More toys will bring more fun, which is a better life. More equals better. And how we usually, if we're going to kind of work the equation, we would say more stuff equals more life. I want to have more life, a better life, so I just need more stuff. More life, more stuff, more stuff, more life, more money, more life. And so we create ourselves a better life by buying, by acquiring, by saving, by investing, by earning, because we believe that more always equals better, and we want better, so we get more. Conversely, we also believe that less stuff equals less life. Therefore, I always need a promotion, I always need a raise, and I always need more, because if I somehow get less, then I'll have less of a life. Jesus says, you've got the equation wrong. The equation seems natural that life equals stuff. The equation's wrong. It's wrong because stuff doesn't equal life. Your life does not consist of the abundance of stuff. And he says we need to change the equation and begin to live a new truth that life does not equal stuff. It really is true that less is more. In fact, sometimes accepting a demotion with a lower salary might actually bring a better life. Because if it comes with it less stress and less hours, could it be that life is even better? And Jesus challenges our basic assumptions about life and the good life and what is better. We go back to the proverb, better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil, chasing after the wind, stress, worry, and the maintenance that goes with it. What Jesus wants for you is the life of peace, the life of tranquility, the life of true fulfillment in him. To experience it, we're going to have to change the equation. Better, it's one box of Sour Patch Kids that you really enjoy, than two boxes that end up bringing pain. Sometimes less is more. Okay, who are the ones? Oh, somebody loved these. Oh, Sour Patch Kids, right back here. You had your hand up. See, we're giving today. Here you go, just for you. Oh, not you, Brett. There you go. All right, don't eat them all right now. Share them. You don't want to pay for it. Less is more. Okay. Now, we mentioned that Jesus' response here is a bit harsh. Man, who appointed me a judge between you? It's not my job. We're like, Jesus, why do you gotta be so mean, man? When you look at what was happening right around the time, we can totally understand it though. You see, in the verses right before this, we find that Jesus was teaching about how to live a life that is led by God, and you know, just we're just living in the flow of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, you know, in the verses right before this, start of chapter 12, he says, you know, sometimes it's not easy to be a Christian. He says, sometimes people will make fun of us and mock us and even persecute us for our faith. Jesus says, you know, sometimes you might even be arrested and people will say, why do you believe in Jesus? What's the purpose of your faith? And you wonder, oh, how am I going to answer them? I've never even been to Bible school to know how to answer them. And Jesus says, but guess what? When you're following me and when you're staying in tune with me and with the Holy Spirit, in those moments where you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit of God is going to give you the words to say. And just relax, and in that moment, you will speak the words that God gives you. They will be inspired. You will walk away thinking, how did I ever come up with that? You'll give praise to God. In these moments, when you're living in the flow of the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Some of you are like, oh, that's good stuff. I wish you'd talk about that instead of all this less is more, right? And Jesus is sharing these inspiring words. And this guy right then interrupts the conversation. He's like, I just kind of imagine this. He's like in the back there, right? He's got his hand up. I have a question. You know, Jesus, I got a question. You know, Jesus is saying in that moment, the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you the words to say, Jesus, hello, back here, I got a question. Jesus is like, socially awkward guy in the back who doesn't get it. We're talking about really important things. In that moment, put your hand down. In that moment, finally, he's just like, what? Okay, he wasn't like that. I would have been like that, but he was probably nicer. The guy's like, Jesus, sorry to interrupt. Would you tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me? Jesus is like, what? Holy Spirit will guide you. Inheritance, help me solve this. What? So Jesus says, it's not my job. Folks, be on guard against all kinds of greed, because look at what this guy's experiencing. He could have been hearing the words of God about how to live in the flow of the Holy Spirit, but he couldn't hear the words of Jesus because he was so focused on his money and his inheritance and making his brother do the right thing. Jesus said, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. We need to change the equation. Less is more, less of what doesn't really matter, so that we can have more of what really does matter. And if we're honest, we will admit that there have been times when God has been speaking to us and we have been distracted by things that don't really matter. Like sometimes when the preacher goes a little bit long on Sunday and your stomach is rumbling. You're like, which restaurant are we going to go to for lunch? And if he hurries up here, we might be able to get there before the crowds, and you totally miss out on what Jesus is trying to say to you. Or the time when, you know, you're at home and you finally opened up your Bible and you're reading and you're just reading the words of Jesus and you're thinking, and your phone goes off and there's an alert of today's daily deal at Amazon. And it's like 48% off with free shipping. And you've been wanting one of those for like days now. And you're totally distracted from the things God wants to say because of something you could get that might make you feel better, because it's so hard to fight the temptation to think that more is always better. Less of what doesn't really matter so that we can have more of what really does matter. That's what we're talking about. Life does not equal stuff. More does not always equal better. Well, let's get really practical. Now that we've kind of heard the truth of it, what are we going to do about it? Here's three practical action steps of how to live out less is more very practically in our lives. Step number one, first step to living out the less is more life is cut back. Everybody say it with me, cut back. All right, so I did a little research. Did you know that after World War II, and soldiers were returning home starting families, and so a lot of new homes were being built in the first suburbs, and the average size of a new home right after World War II was 750 square feet. Can you guess what the average home size in 2017 of a new average new home being built in 2017? Average home size, anybody guess? 2,000 square feet, keep going higher. 2,700 square feet is the average size of a new home being built in 2017. And the average family size is smaller than it was right after World War II. So our homes have more than tripled in size, and our families are smaller, and we still don't have enough space, do we? Come on, be honest. It's time to be honest. You're never going to really buy into this if you're not honest. This is true for me, right? So I thought about it. When Erica and I were first married, we were in school and I was in seminary, and so we moved out of the dormitories in college after we got married, and so I thought, well, I want to be smart about this, and we bought a small duplex on the other side of Kansas City, closer to the seminary, and we lived in one side and rented out the other, and I thought, that's a great solution. We'll let the renters pay the mortgage, and it just works out for everybody. Now, don't go buying rental property this week, because I'm going to tell you another story next week that'll be the flip side of this. But anyways, so we bought this little duplex, lived in one side, rented out the other, and we enjoyed living in 650 square feet. Our side, two bedrooms and a combined living room, kitchen, and 650 square feet. And I'm glad we were like newlyweds, totally in love, and we could put up with being that close to each other all the time, because we were close all the time. And it was tight. I had to create extra space up in the attic and all that good stuff. Anyways, we've been blessed with a great home here in Ridgefield. And I thought to myself, I wonder how much I've kind of fallen into this as well. And I got out the tape measure last week, and I did the measurements. Our master bedroom closet. That's nervous laughter, right? Our master bedroom closet has more square footage than our master bedroom did in our first house. Our closet itself is bigger than the bedroom. And I think if we kind of go around and tell some stories, it'd be the same for a lot of us, wouldn't it? And yet, for most of us, the giant master closet that's bigger than our first bedroom still is not big enough to hold everything. In fact, if you would let me into your house, I can imagine that if we go to the guest room and we look in the closet of the guest bedroom, there would be no space there for clothes for guests because your master bedroom closet is not big enough. You've let it spill over into the storage in the master guest bedroom closet, and it's full as well, right? Come on, it's okay to be honest in church. Okay, for some of us, not only is the master closet not big enough and the extra space in the spare bedroom is not big enough, but then we've moved down to the garage because in our culture, we're so blessed, we build little houses for our cars because we care about our cars and we give them their own little house so they can stay nice and warm and cozy. But sometimes we have so much stuff that we have to evict the car from the garage and make it sit outside and be cold at night because we need that square footage to store the stuff that doesn't fit in our giant master bedroom closet or the guest bedroom closet. And sometimes we have so much stuff that not only does it not fit in the closet, either upstairs in either room, and we overflowing the garage, but that we pay somebody to build another little garage across town and we fill up their garage as well and we call it storage because we wouldn't want to waste anything and we have a bunch of stuff in storage that we pay to be stored that we never use. Maybe we ought to cut back. Maybe that would be wise. What if we had less stuff? Would we have more time for friends? If we had less stuff, would we have more time for family? If we put less attention on our stuff, could we put more attention on relationships, which are always more important than our stuff? Cut back. The second practical step to living out the less is more life is clear out. Everybody say it with me. Clear out. So this last week, I opened up my sock drawer. And laundry had just, we'd just gotten finished with the laundry. And I took, the newly cleaned socks, opened up the sock drawer, pushed the socks in, pushed them down a little bit, quickly slammed the door, and I got them all in there. And knowing that we're going to, talk about this, I thought, I wonder how many socks do I have? So I just did a little experiment, and I took all my socks out, and I counted. And I discovered that I have 35 pairs of socks. Do you realize that's 5 weeks of socks? And we do laundry every week. And there were only 3 colors of socks. It's not like I had a bunch of different colors to go with every outfit because I'm a guy and I just wear the same color socks every day. It's time to clear out. And I heard a few people afterwards that said, oh yeah, after 9 o'clock, they were like, oh, my sock drawer is the same way. Yeah, I need to go through and count, see how many socks I have. It's time to get ruthless with our stuff and to say, if I'm not going to wear it, if I haven't worn it, it is time to be done with it. It is time to clear out. We pastors, I've heard that pastors can easily be accused of being book hoarders. And so this week I thought maybe this could apply to my books. And I went to the office and I said, you know what? I wonder if I could find 100 books. I've bought a little over 1,000 books or so. I wonder if I have 100 books that I'm not going to read them. I haven't read them since I even bought them. I'm not going to read them. I'm not even going to reference them because I have other books in the same subject that I reference. So I wonder if I could just easily find 100 books that I can just get rid of and never even notice or miss them. And in 20 minutes, I found 125 books. The books can go. It's time to cut back. It's time to clear out. I'm telling my own story here, and I'm going to encourage you to do the same. See, sometimes, and here's what's good about it. It's not just good just because it's good. We think that we like to have lots of options. But research has shown time and time again that we actually prefer to have fewer options. We like to walk into our closet and see that I have 20 shirts that I could choose from. The reality is you're going to choose one of the same 4 shirts you choose all the time. Because those are the 4 shirts you really love and you really enjoy, you might as well just get rid of the other 16 and give yourself less stress when you go to choose a shirt. And what we find is that when we have fewer choices, we have less stress. If we were to get ruthless of clearing out the extra stuff that is just cluttering up our lives, cluttering our closets, cluttering our minds, cluttering our bookshelves, cluttering our garages, send it on its way, we could live with less stress. How does that sound? Better one handful with tranquility than 2 handfuls, which is a bunch of hassle. Now, I know if you grew up and you didn't have much. In fact, some of you grew up and you regularly didn't even have enough. And whatever you could get, you saved it, you recycled it, you reused it, you repaired it, and you just have grown up always, don't throw it away, I never know when I'm going to need it. That's hard, that's a hard way to grow up. But let's be honest, many of us, we're long past that place. And now God has blessed us and we've learned a few things and we're doing really well, and the reality is you're not going to need it, we're not going to wear it again, it doesn't even fit, and it's never going to fit again, so let's just send it on its way. It's time to get ruthless and clear out. So reading some of the materials and some of the most popular books about cleaning and organizing and all that, here's a good rule of thumb. You can write this down and tell your, you know, spouse to start living by this one. And that is, when you get something, you give something. You get one, you give one. And so here's how it goes. You get a new pair of jeans, put it in your dresser or wherever you store your jeans, you take one pair out, throw it away, give it away, get it out. A new pair of jeans comes in, you give away a pair of jeans. You get a new suit, you give away one of the old suits. You get a new shirt, you give away one of your old shirts. You get a new pack of underwear, you throw a bunch of them away. Do not give them away. That would be weird. One comes in, one goes out. Get one, give one. Continues the process of saying, you know what, I'm not going to let clutter build up in my life. Okay, so less is more living. Cut back, clear out, and number three, pay off. Say it with me. Pay off. I've never heard anybody tell me, you know what, when I think about just how high my debt is, it really makes me just feel so peaceful and it just calms my soul. Never heard anyone tell me, you know what, when I come back from the mailbox and I see that we got the credit card statement, I can't wait to open it up and see just how high the balance is this month. No. Well, I have heard some folks who are on an aggressive plan to pay off debt and to cut back so they can live with a lot of stress, and they know that they're aggressively throwing everything they've got extra towards that credit card debt to try to pay it off and cut it down. They look forward to getting the credit card statement to see just how low the balance is this month. That brings a sense of encouragement and inspiration. Better could it be, better to have one paid off car than to have two with payments that you can barely make and provide stress every month? Better to have a smaller house that's paid off than to not even be able to buy that shirt without fighting about it if we can really afford it because we're so strapped by a high mortgage payment? Pay it off. Just see how that feels. Less is more because less stress is good. Less worry is good. Less fear is good. Less maintenance on all the stuff you bought that would bring us so much fun, less maintenance is good with more time to enjoy the people in your life. Less really is more. Okay, so here is your homework assignment this week. This is this week's Less is More challenge. It's really simple, but it's not going to be easy, okay? This week, I'm going to encourage you to clear out. To go home and to clear out. And now to help you with that, we called the folks that have the donation bins on the side of the property. So ARC of Southwest Washington is an organization that takes donations of clothing and small household goods, and they kind of use them for their organization. Well, we called them, and next Sunday, for the next two weekends, they are going to bring us one of their box trucks. They're going to park it in the parking lot and give us the keys, and we're going to throw open the back, and I'm going to encourage you next weekend when you come to church to bring with you the boxes and bags of clothes and books and other stuff that you don't need anymore as you're going to clear out this week. Bring the stuff with you to church. You don't even have to drive. You don't have to make an extra trip to Goodwill. You're already going to come to church, so next weekend you're going to come with your offering, but it's a different kind of an offering. This is a get rid of it, clear it out. It's an offering to the Lord of less clutter in my lives. Just come a little bit early to church and unload your trunk with the boxes and the bags of stuff you don't need anymore and stack it in the box truck. So here's what we're going to do. The place to start, the organizing folks tell us, is to start with your closet. Start with your clothes. So you go into your closet and you find all the things that really you're not going to wear, that don't fit anymore. I mean, you know, that flannel shirt that you haven't worn since you went to the Nirvana concert in 1992, but you love it, but you're not going to wear it anymore. Put it in there. Just get rid of it. You know, stress out your life. All the jeans that don't fit anymore, toss them in the box. Go through your closet, take everything. Then you go downstairs to the bookshelf. Then you go out into the garage. Guys, you got to go out into the garage. Tools and sport. Okay, not tools. You never know when you need them, but the sporting goods that you're never going to use anymore, put them in the box. Let's clear out. Let's see if we can fill a couple of truckloads over the next couple of weeks as we look to clear it out. Then what you do, you walk over to your wife's side of the closet and you find all the clothes that she hasn't worn and she never wears, and you leave them alone. And you pray for her and never say anything. Because if you do, and she kills you, I'm not going to do your funeral. I'll just say, I told you so. The less is more challenge. Let's see if we can do it. Let's see how much clutter and extra junk that we can clean out of our lives this week, and just see what God might do in our own hearts as we create the space to give our lives to what's most important. Better is one handful with tranquility. That's what I want for you. But it means we got to clear out some of the stuff that's filling up our other hand. I'm not advocating poverty. I'm not telling you that I don't want you to have any nice things. In fact, I'd love for you to have a few really nice things that you enjoy and that bring some enjoyment to your life than to have a bunch of stuff you don't even use anymore. Let me just leave you with this thought. Could it be that the richest people in the world are not those who have the most, but those who need the least? Better is one handful of peace. See, already you're thinking, that's the life I want. I want to live with a sense of contentment, satisfaction, and making the most of what I already have. You see, your life is too valuable. Time is too short. Your mission is too great, and your God is too good to waste your life on stuff that doesn't really matter. Better is one handful, and to be able to enjoy the children that you love. Better is one handful that comes with a good marriage, time with your spouse. Better is one handful in vacation memories with your family that will last. Better is one handful in a passion for Jesus that's not distracted by all the clutter. That's what we're talking about. This week, what does it look like for you? Will you live the less is more life? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. I'm going to invite you to seek Jesus today. However the Lord is tugging at your own heart, you just talk to him even now. Jesus, we want you most of all. Jesus, we want you to be the center of our lives. Jesus, we don't want to be distracted by stuff that's really pretty meaningless. Jesus, you are the best. So I pray that you would encourage us and lead us this week to clear out, cut back, do whatever we need to do to get rid of anything that's even good so that we can have you that is best. And I pray for my friends today. I pray, Lord, that we would experience the peace and tranquility even this week that comes with one handful. Lord, would you challenge our mindsets in whichever way that we've kind of bought into the idea that more is always better. Lord, challenge our mindsets even today. And I pray that we would live the peace-filled life that you have for us even this week. Lord, I pray this in your name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's continue to seek the Lord. This worship song that the team's going to lead us in, it It just comes straight from the Bible, in where King David says, Lord, what is better? Better is you. Better is one day spent with you than anywhere else I could be. So let's raise our voices, let's sing, and let's talk to God this morning. Guys, lead us in this time of worship. There's a spiritual challenge with all this. See, sometimes the reason we buy stuff is because it makes us feel good. It kind of satisfies our needs and desires for a short amount of time. This has been true for a long time. Centuries ago, a theologian said, you know, there is in each of us a God-shaped hole, and we are not satisfied until we fill that with God himself. We try to fill that hole with meaningful relationships, and it just doesn't work. We try to fill that hole in our lives with buying stuff that makes us feel good, and it just doesn't last. He said, there is in each of us a God-shaped hole, and we are not satisfied until it is filled with God himself. The good news is that Jesus came to give his life so that you could open up your life and allow Jesus to come in and to fill that hole in your heart, that void in your life with him. That's you today, and you kind of feel God's tugging at your heart, realizing this is more than just throwing away a bunch of stuff, that this is a spiritual thing. I'm going to invite you today. Have you opened up your life to Jesus? Have you invited Jesus to come into your life, to take that place in your life that only he can fill, and to be your satisfaction today? The good news is you can do that today. The good news is that there's no like complicated ritual you have to follow, no specific prayer you have to pray in just the right way. It's a very simple but big decision you make to say, Jesus, I give my life to you. Jesus, come into my life. If that's you today and that's the decision that God's tugging at your heart and just asking for him to come in, I invite you to open up your heart today. Give yourself to Jesus. If you'd like to kind of put that decision to words, here's a sample prayer. We'll put it up on the screen here. And I invite you just to pray it along with me and do some heart work with Jesus today. If that's you, just pray this along with me, would you? Heavenly Father, I choose to receive Jesus into my life. I'm open for you to change me. I desire to begin a brand new relationship with you. Cleanse me from sin. Put your spirit in me. Take the lead in my life. Amen. The good news for you is if you prayed that prayer, made that decision, welcome to the family of Jesus. Your sins, they're already gone. Your guilt, it's already gone. Your future in Jesus, Jesus has a place for you. And as a church family, we'd love to help you, encourage you along the way to follow Jesus the rest of your life. That's why we're here. We'd love to talk with you about that. So we're going to sing the rest of the song and then go have a great week living out this truth. If today you've made a big spiritual decision, I encourage you to find one of us and let's talk about it more and talk about what the next steps would be. I'm going to go out in the lobby and greet folks as we go. Our pastors will kind of stay here in the front for a little while. If you'd like to feel more comfortable talking to a lady, Erica's going to be here. She can talk with you and encourage you. Just come up, find us, say, hey, I made a spiritual decision. Will you pray with me? We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. We'll help you to take the next steps. I had someone find me after the 9 o'clock service and said, hey, God's doing something in my life. Can we sit down and talk more about this? Yes, we can. I love to have those spiritual conversations with people. God's doing something in your life. Just say yes to him. Let's see where it leads. It'll be good. All right. Well, come find us. Let's seek Jesus together. Let's raise our voices one more time. With everything we've got in us, let's sing it out. Let's praise him. Better is you, Lord Jesus, than anything else. Lead us out of here, guys, and do a great week.